Holy Spirit, would you take these words to speak to us through them, I ask, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Please be seated. There were two couples living across the street from each other, and at Christmas time, one of the families decorated their house with lights all over the house. I mean, it kind of looked like Chevy Chase's house in Christmas Vacation. And it was just an amazing display of lights. The other family across the street just set up a simple, plain little manger scene. And the husband and wife that were looking out their window at the manger scene from their lighted house, the husband commented to the wife, "Wouldn't you know it, there's always someone who tries to bring religion into everything." Well, that's what Jesus did. That's what the Father did when he sent his son Jesus into the world. He tried to introduce not religion, but he tried to introduce the love of God into everything in this world. God brought Jesus into everything by having him conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary, and then born to live as a human being, to live a perfect life, and ultimately to die on a cross. Turn, if you will, to our gospel lesson today from John's gospel. And John describes something as he begins his gospel lesson that may sound familiar to you. He says this, "In the beginning." That may remind you, of course, of the book of Genesis that begins in the same way. In the beginning, the book of Genesis says, God created the heavens and the earth. And then it goes on to say that God spoke and said, let there be life and let there be other things, and they came into existence. So God used his word, he spoke his word, and the limitless universe leapt into existence. And so the word of God really is the person of Jesus Christ. And through that word, all things were created. The rest of verse 1 says, and the word was with God, we might read God the Father, and the word was God. In some mystical way, God has been revealed to us as one in essence, and yet three in persons. Much like water is H2O, but it can be found in three different forms, solid, liquid, and gas. So we have the one God in essence who is revealed to us in the persons of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Verse 2 says, he, that is the Word, was with God in the beginning. Because the Word is eternal, he was part of a created force that brought everything into existence. Look at verse 3. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. It's interesting to note that the Bible says that not only was everything created through the Word, but that the Father also had a hand in creation. And the Holy Spirit had a hand in creation. And that makes sense in what we read in the first verse of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 4 says, in him the Word was life. When God, the Word, spoke, he brought things to life. The Word is the life that is the light of all mankind. Verse 5 says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The light of life has come into this world through Jesus Christ. There have been many attempts to try to snuff out that light, many attempts to try to extinguish that light. There have been dictators who have tried to extinguish it. There have been atheists that have tried to extinguish it. There have been individuals that have tried what they can to extinguish the light of Christ, but they've not been able to do so. That light, the Word of God, came down to this world darkened by sin and brought the light of God into this dark world. There have been many people, on the other hand, who have tried to bring forth the light of God in Jesus Christ. There have been kings and priests and prophets and ordinary people who have done that. Of course, we see that in our gospel lesson today through John the Baptist. John the Baptist was an ordinary person who was preparing the way for the light of Christ to come into this world. In verse 6, it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. John was preparing the way for the light of Christ to come into the world. So who is that light? Verse 10 tells us, he, that is the one that was coming into the world, the Word who was bringing the light of God, when he finally arrived, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. When Christ came into the world, people didn't realize that he was the creator of the world, that the actual God who created all things had come to this earth. Obviously, we know that this is talking about Jesus. Jesus is the one who is, as verse 11 says, came to that which was his own, and his own did not receive him. God the Father had originally planned for the children of Israel to be his chosen people, but from time to time they would turn their backs on him. From time to time they would begin to follow other gods, or they begin to follow their own devices and desires. And so God chose to send someone into this world to bring people back to him so that they could be his chosen people. He brought the Word into this earth, and he came as a Jew in order to first try to bring the Jews back to God. And the Jews, it says, did not receive him. In other words, they didn't believe that Jesus, the Word, was the Messiah that they were looking for, that he was the Savior of Israel. To receive someone in those days was to invite them into your house and to have them share a meal with you and to kind of befriend them. And so in a sense, he came to his own people, but his own people did not receive him. They did not welcome him as their friend. And this image is used by Jesus in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, when he says, "Behold, I stand at the door." That's the door of our hearts. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into them and have a relationship with them, have fellowship with them." And so Jesus promises to come to live inside of each one who believes in him by sending his Holy Spirit to live inside of them. Many of the Jews were the first ones to reject Jesus as the Messiah, as the Savior. But there were some who received him. There were some who believed in his name. And those who believed in him became part of his family. They were adopted into his family as the children of God. There were a number of Jews who came to believe and accept and trust in Jesus as their Savior. This is interesting because we often think that Jesus only came for those who didn't have any religion. But in fact, Jesus came to the Jews first who already had a religion. He came to them because he was to be their Savior. But Jesus not only came to the Jews, he came to all people. He came to people no matter what religion they had, in order for them to turn to him to receive salvation. So when Jesus came into this world, he came to draw people out of Buddhism, out of Islam, out of Confucianism, out of any type of philosophy or religion that had any other way to get to God than believing in Jesus Christ. So Jesus came into this world in order to draw people to himself. The Bible says God so loved the world, not just those that didn't have any religion, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When John advocates believing in the name of Jesus Christ, he's talking about believing not just in the name of Jesus, but in what that name stands for, in the title of Jesus. Jesus, John describes as the Son of God. He describes him as the Savior of the world. He describes him as the Christ. Now that word Christ is not Jesus' last name. The word Christ means the Anointed One or the Messiah. So John is calling people to believe in the Messiah, in Jesus Christ as the Savior, as the one who is sent by God to bring salvation to this world. How important is the name of Jesus? Well, Peter says this in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. He says, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." So not only did Christ teach that he was the only way, the only truth, and the only life, but the apostles taught that Jesus was the only way to salvation. You begin to understand why it is so important for us to spread the message of Christ to other people so that they can experience the salvation that we have received as well. When you receive Jesus Christ into your life, when you believe in his name, when you trust in him for salvation, then as verse 12 says in our gospel lesson today, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. So when we come to believe in Jesus Christ, the Bible says we are born again of the Spirit. Our spirits are reborn. All human beings are created with a human spirit. That spirit is designed by God. We're created in the image of God in order to be able to have a relationship with God who is spirit. But because of sin, not all of everyone is able to have a relationship with God. Until that sin is resolved some way, then a person cannot have a relationship with God. That's why Jesus Christ came into this world, so that he could resolve the problem of sin that separates us from God. So when he died on the cross and paid for our sins, he made a way for us to have a relationship with God. He made a way for us to have salvation. When we invite Christ to come into our lives, our spirits are redeemed or changed by the Holy Spirit that he sends to come to live inside of us. That Holy Spirit is a guarantee of the eternal life that we have, and also a guarantee of the resurrection that will come at a later time. And so, when Jesus came into this world, he made it possible for us to be adopted into the family of God. We become the children of God through Jesus Christ. Look at John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ humbled himself. He gave up all the rights and privileges of being God to become a human being so that he could be the perfect way of salvation. He could be the perfect offering of salvation for all of us by his death on the cross. And just as God sent Jesus into this world to die for our sins, he sent Jesus into this world to be a light for all of us to receive salvation. This is the Christmas message. God, the Word, became a human being and was given the name of Jesus. He was not known as Jesus before he came into this world. He was known as the Word of God. But when he came to this earth, he was given the name of Jesus, the name that means salvation. So just as God has made himself known through Jesus Christ, we can make Jesus known by sharing him with others and by the way that we serve others and give ourselves to others. I want to share with you a story that reflects this. And it's about a man who was driving down a road and he almost didn't see the old lady stranded by the side of the road. But even in the dim light, he could see that she needed help. He pulled his Pontiac in front of her Mercedes and noticed that she was standing outside and that she had a flat tire. And so he got out of his car and she was very nervous because he looked like he was poor and hungry and she'd heard all sorts of stories about what happens to women at night like that. And so as he was approaching her, he smiled and he said, "Ma'am, why don't you get back into your car where it's warm and I'll take care of this for you." And so he got down on his hands and knees and scraped his knuckles as he was trying to find where to put the jack and he began to jack up the car and then change the tire and then he put the lug nuts back on and he began to tighten those up and as he was finishing and putting the jack back into the trunk, the woman rolled down her window and she said, how can I ever thank you? I appreciate that. How much do I owe you for this service?" And he said, "Ma'am, you don't owe me anything. This is not a job for me. This is something that I wanted to do." He said that he was a Christian and he just wanted to show her the love of Christ, and that if she wanted to do something for him, then what she could do is when she comes across someone else in need, that she could help them, and that would be a way of expressing her thanks to this man. And so he watched her as she drove off into the cold, and it was a depressing day for him, but he felt good that he had done this for this woman. A few miles down the road, the waiter saw a small cafe, and she pulled into it. It really didn't look very good. The pumps were old, and gas pumps were old, and the restaurant didn't look very appealing, but she wanted to get something to eat and take something home with her. And so she went into the restaurant, and her server came up to her and brought her a clean towel to wipe off her wet hair. She had a sweet smile, one that even being on her feet the whole day didn't erase. The lady noticed that the server was nearly 8 months pregnant, and that she never let the strain and aches and pains change her attitude. The old lady wondered how someone who was so little could give so much, be so giving to a stranger. Then she remembered the man who changed her tire, whose name was Brian. After the lady had finished her meal and the server went to get change for the $100 bill that she gave her, the lady slipped right out the door. She was gone by the time that the server got back. She wondered where the lady could be, and then she noticed something written on a napkin, and under the napkin were four $100 bills. There were tears in her eyes when she read what the lady wrote. It said, "You don't owe me anything. I've been there too. Somebody once helped me out the way I'm helping you. If you really want to pay me back, here's what you do. Do not let this chain of love end with you." Well, there were tables to clear and sugar bowls to fill and people to serve, but the server made it through another day. That night, when she got home from work, she climbed into bed. She was thinking about the money and what the lady had written. How could the lady have known how much she and her husband needed that money? With the baby due next month, it was going to be hard. She knew how worried her husband was, and as he lay sleeping next to her, she gave him a soft kiss and whispered soft and low in his ear, "Everything's going to be all right. I love you, Brian." We may have an opportunity in our lives to be an instrument used by God to share His love with someone else, to do something for them that can cause them to look to the Savior. We might have an opportunity also to share His love with others by serving them in some way or by doing something for them that might, in fact, be an answer to their prayer. Ultimately, I believe God will lead us to people that we can do something for in the way of sharing His love or being His instrument of light in some way. Now, this is difficult, of course, at this time when we're kind of separated from each other, but I believe there may be times that God might bring us to encounter others that would need to not only experience the light of Christ, but also experience His love through our service and giving. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for sending Your Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to be the light of the world, to shine a light on the darkness around us, to be one who is calling us to His glorious light, the light of salvation. Lord, we ask that You would speak to the hearts of all those who have not yet crossed over from darkness to light, that You would lead them to a relationship with the Savior, that they would receive Him in their lives. Lord, we pray for us as we have received the Savior in our lives, that we would be instruments used by Him to share His love with others, and so bring the light of Christ into them. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.